This is not Digital quite Dave. Why, Eddie? Yeah. You look so much younger.
Yeah, I'm the former Afterburner Al Fareed Gio. We're reprising our original roles here.
Yep.
And
from a long time ago,
I did name your show Hot Start because it just fits you so much.
You were the inspiration, huh?
Yes. Welcome back. We're joined by Heidi Kemner with the National Transportation Safety Board, and we're talking about in-flight TAS saturation, which we can say that our on-air presence is definitely fits that bill.
Saturated, yes.
You know, I think Kara's a little bit off-put just because she was sitting in the studio during an interview with me yesterday during my other show, and now I am a completely different personality.
Yes.
Now and she's like, a bait and switch here.
Yeah.
She's like, what did I sign?
Well, bait and switch means that implies that you're not getting what you thought you were paying for. So
I know. She wanted competence. She saw competence yesterday, and now look at this.
Yes, now it's clown. Okay, whenever they want someone to screw up, they call us, right?
Yep.
Anyway, good morning, Heidi. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, let's just clarify right off the bat. Task saturation.
Yes.
How did you get into this?
How did I get into my job?
Sure. Yeah, well, you say, how did you get into this subject matter?
Well, when I was in ninth grade, I'm an air safety investigator with the National Transportation Safety Board. When I was in ninth grade, I took a career test, and it said, you should be a plane crash investigator.
Are you serious?
And I said, I will do that.
I never even thought they had that. I think mine came back homeless.
Yep.
So. Most likely to be.
Yes, exactly. in his cardboard box on a steam vent. Yeah.
But so that's interesting that it divined that out of your answers and said, do that. And, you know, as a young person, you're like, I'm not going to blindly follow some authoritative thing.
Some cereal box wisdom.
So what drew you to this?
I grew up around airplanes. Mm-hmm. My dad flew me all around in general aviation in our community. And I met my coworkers when I was in 10th grade. And I just kept in contact with them.
Wow.
And I bugged them enough. I got an internship. It was volunteer at first, which was a little rough because I was paying for college.
Yeah.
But they finally hired me as an intern, and I waited 5 years to get this job.
I thought they said, oh, she's new. Give her the crappy job. So task saturation, what are we talking about
here? So with task saturation, I did this case back in 2017, and the pilot was very competent and professional, experienced, ATP, and he had just had a lot going on, and the tasks exceeded his capabilities. And it can happen to anybody. And you just really need to know your limits, and you need to know when you need to ask for help. And that help could be a safety pilot. That help could be automation, autopilot. That help could be from air traffic control. So asking for help is never a bad thing. And I think as pilots, we need to understand that you're not alone out there. And yes, you can be professional and competent, but asking for help doesn't mean you're not.
Doesn't mean you're not competent.
Exactly.
Right. Just means you're
overloaded. Never a bad thing. Right.
Okay.
I work on professional flight decks, and even though we have two pilots, we are trained to recognize when one of your co-pilot is task saturated with something, especially if the dynamics change into either abnormal or just a very busy arrival or departure or something like that. Especially as commanders or captains or pilot commands, you're supposed to recognize if your other flying partner is task saturated and then relieve them of some of those and move on to others. So I guess what I'm getting from you is that if you are a single pilot in a GA aircraft and your crew is actually outside the airplane, but they can help you.
Right. So never be afraid to ask for help from air traffic control or take a moment, aviate, navigate, communicate, and then automation. All right. You need to turn on autopilot for a second, reorient, then you'll be good to go.
And it's kind of the reverse, somewhat reverse of what I'm used to is where it's like, simplify as best you can. Mm-hmm. Although turning on some automation can do that unless the automation is what's causing the task saturation.
Exactly. Yeah.
How do you teach them to recognize that they're task saturated?
I think that's just in experience and flying and then realizing just in life, I'm reaching my limit just in regular life, and then applying that to flying.
I tried that. I tried to call for help and everybody said, forget it.
We've been told specifically not to help
you.
Yes,
exactly.
In your studies of some incidents and accidents and just also some of your research, what are some key areas that you see, especially general aviation flyers, get task saturated?
Specifically in instrument meteorological conditions, it's clear that's a heavy workload, especially when you're by yourself. And in the case study that I'm presenting today, that's exactly what happened.
Well, let's quick get the plug in for that. You're presenting this today at the NASA Pavilion, at the NTS.
Federal Pavilion.
Federal Pavilion, yes. One of those pavilions.
I'm trying to figure it out. Everything's moved around. I'm still in 1996.
Yeah,
So you're presenting that when?
At 9:30 this morning.
9:30. Oh, boy. So
we
need to get her out on time.
Yep.
Yes, please.
Okay, but continue on. So some of the instrument flying, single pilot, IFR, mm-hmm. especially mm-hmm. if you're actually in the soup.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
And what other areas?
Specifically, that's the one I see the most. I can't think of any others on the top off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. But I can.
there we
right,
go.
Yes.
If there's something, so you have a plan, you're going on an approach and you're just practicing, and then something happens, air traffic control calls you to go miss, something happens and it's an unexpected thing,
right.
Then people can get task saturated because they weren't really expecting it. Mm-hmm. So also being prepared really helps reduce the probability of being task saturated.
One of the things I do, and even though I have another crew member with me on the approach, I'll rebrief myself in my head at the 1,000 foot, which is when we're supposed to be fully stabilized. I'll rebrief in my head what the go-around procedure is, if I need to go, if it's at 200 feet, which requires one type of the normal go-around, or if it's at 50 feet, which requires a kind of a slightly different sort of modified. But I'll rebrief my what I'm going to do after, because we covered it way up at like 18,000 or 25,000 feet. We've done a brief. Sounds great up there.
Sure, yeah.
You come on down, and it's the same if you're a cruise in a GA airplane. You know, it sounds great up there, but then you get down into and things are going, and you don't expect that all this other traffic's going to be there. And ATC sometimes expects everybody just to be on the same pace.
Right, right. You're exactly right.
How much does the pilot's own attitude, what I'm thinking is, you've got an instrument rated pilot, but that day he was flying VFR, he wasn't thinking about IMC, and all of a sudden he's in IMC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I imagine that's a good cause right off the bat for some task saturation.
Yeah, that's a lot to handle when you're not expecting it.
Right, right. Not to mention losing an engine.
That does not help.
Yeah, the one time I did lose an engine in a turbojet.
Did you ever find it?
No. We left it in Gainesville.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, but luckily for us, we had taken off out of Naples, and it was October. It was still 80 degrees at 5 p.m. And luckily, the engine didn't pack up about 200 feet off the ground, because that definitely would have been highly task saturated.
Yep.
Because any sort of engine loss, multi-engine loss, at low altitude, you're still trying to accelerate the airplane. We were up at altitude, so it was relatively simple. We were already accelerated, so we had, time to react, and also we wouldn't have lost flight performance that quickly. But definitely down close to the ground, it's such a dynamic situation that you certainly have to adjust.
Yeah, I'm obviously not a commercial pilot. I'll put that disclaimer in there. But during student pilot training, mm-hmm. my God, it's nothing but task saturation. Yeah. You always feel like you're behind, and you're
yeah. There's a lot to learn as a student.
Yes,
and I don't want to give away one of my techniques, but usually somewhere in the pattern with an airplane, especially with a 152 or a 172, I'll tell the student, could you adjust that air vent for me over there? And every time they reach up there, and then I'll pull the engine, or I'll do something else like that.
I've had that happen too.
Just to do that.
Flight instructors are evil.
Tricky instructor.
What also I'm curious about is how has the FAA, because you make the NTSB makes recommendations to the FAA. The FAA is required, or not required, but is tasked with implementing mm-hmm. recommendations from the outside. How have they, have they done a pretty good job of incorporating some of these things like in their educational materials and stressing it?
So actually one thing the NTSB does is they're called safety alerts, mm-hmm. and we put out several of them. They're at our booth, and they are basically case studies that people can take home and like the Amanda was talking about yesterday, one of our survival factors, they have a seatbelt safety alert, and it's on every topic. And they're for pilots, air traffic controllers, we have them for mechanics. So we have all types of things that, and material to educate the public, no matter how you get plugged into aviation.
Okay. So we, Dave and I have talked way too much in this interview. Yeah. What else would you like to tell us before you head off to your forum?
Yeah.
So that, you know, we want to give you some time here.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to speaking about this case study and then really explaining our job with the NTSB. There's only 400 people total in the NTSB and only 45 regional investigators. And everyone asks us, well, what do you do when you're not at an accident site? And we have a lot to do. And so I'm excited to tell people and let them see all the things we get to do.
Yeah, with the compilation of reports and everything like that.
Report writing, follow-up work, yeah. Engine teardowns, all of it.
If you want to hear the case study, it's in basically 1 hour at the International Federal Pavilion. Heidi Kemner, who's
Heidi
an air
Kemner.
Safety.
Yeah, say Heidi that
Kemner.
Again.
Heidi Kemner is an air safety investigator with the National Transportation Safety Board. Talking with us about in-flight task saturation. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys.
All right.
You're listening to EAA Radio.